Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich shared, "It is always a subject of astonishment to me that the gospel narratives of the facts of Jesus' life are so short. For instance, it records the meeting of Jesus with Peter as happening close upon Andrew's following Jesus after the testimony of John, while in reality, Peter was at the time not in that part of the country, but in Galilee. Andrew had not as yet been formally received as a disciple. Indeed, Jesus had not even called him. He had come of himself, had offered himself, for he would gladly be near Jesus. He was more eager to serve, more ready to offer service than Peter. Peter was ever ready to quiet himself with the thought, 'Oh, I am too weak for that. That is beyond my strength.' And so he went on about his own affairs." Welcome to Truth of the Spirit and the Call of Peter, as seen by the visionary Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Blessed Anne Catherine saw the life of Christ, including the interaction of the apostles. Peter was a key member of the disciples of Jesus. Blessed Anne Catherine has given us some details of the backstory of the calling of the first pope of the Catholic Church, Simon Peter, to be an apostle. She mentions his livelihood, his family, beyond what is recorded in Scripture. This narrative contains excerpts taken from the first three volumes of The Life of Our Lord Jesus Christ. Her writings are considered personal revelation and should be discerned according to the teachings of the Catholic Church. I'm your narrator, Patty Bruner. Blessed Anne Catherine shares, "After Joseph's death, Jesus and Mary removed to a little village of only a few houses between Capernaum and Bethsaida. It was to this little place that Peter's father retired when he gave over to Peter the fishery at Bethsaida. A man named Levi, who was very much attached to the Holy Family, had given Jesus a house there in which to dwell. Another time," Blessed Anne wrote, "the house had been rented from Levi by Peter's family and given over to the Holy Family. Thus, Peter and Andrew knew the Holy Family in a general way, although through John the Baptist, whose disciples they were. The house had several buildings attached to it in which relatives of the family and the disciples could stay when visiting." Blessed Anne shared, "Jesus went alone to the sea, passing through a fence into an enclosed fishery where lay five ships. On the shore were several huts for the accommodation of the fishermen. Peter, the owner of this fishery, was in one of the huts with Andrew. John and James with their father Zebedee and several others were on the boats. In the middle one was Peter's father-in-law with his three sons. The father was surnamed Zelotes because he had gained his point in a dispute with the Romans concerning the right of navigation on the lake. There were about 30 men on the boats. Jesus went along the shore by the fenced-off way between the huts and the boats, speaking with Andrew and the others. I know not whether he spoke to Peter. They did not know him as yet. He spoke of John and of the near coming of the Messiah. Andrew was already a baptized disciple of John. Jesus told them that he would come to them again." Blessed Anne Catherine saw Jesus left Nazareth to go to Bethsaida, where he aimed at rousing some of the people by his teaching. The Blessed Virgin and his followers remained behind. He was accompanied by Saturnin, the son of Veronica, a son of one of the widowed relatives of Jesus and one of Peter's relatives, known later as one of the disciples. Blessed Anne shared, "In Capernaum, Jesus taught in the school. Crowds came from all sides to hear him, among them Peter, Andrew, and many others who had already been baptized by John. When Jesus left Capernaum, I saw him teaching 2 hours distant from the city toward the south. His hearers were numerous. He had with him only the 3 disciples, for the future apostles who had heard him in Capernaum had, without exchanging words with him, gone again to the sea. Jesus kept the Sabbath in a school between Nazareth and Sepphoris. The holy women from Nazareth were present, also Peter's wife and the wives of some other of the future apostles, for the Jews often visited other places on the Sabbath. Of the future apostles, Peter, Andrew, James the Less, and Philip, all disciples of John, came to hear Jesus. Philip belonged to Bethsaida. Being informed of Jesus' presence, they had come to hear him. Jesus had not yet spoken to any of them in particular. Blessed Anne saw, at break of day, Jesus went over the Jordan. Jesus proceeded along the east bank of the river up to a point directly opposite John's place of baptism. John at that moment was busy teaching and baptizing. Pointing straight across the river, he exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus then turned away from the shore and returned to Bethabara. Andrew and Saturnin, who had been standing near John, hurried over the river by the same way that Jesus had passed. They were followed by one of the cousins of Joseph of Arimathea and 2 others of John's disciples. They ran after Jesus, who, turning, came to meet them, asking what they wanted. Andrew, overjoyed at having found him once more, asked him where he dwelt. Jesus answered by bidding them follow him, and he led them to an inn near the water and outside Bethabara. There they entered and sat down. Jesus stayed all this day with the 5 disciples in Bethabara and took a meal with them. He talked of his teaching mission about to begin and of his intention to choose his disciples. Andrew mentioned to him many of his own acquaintances, whom he recommended as suitable for the work, among others Peter, Philip, and Nathanael. Blessed Anne shared, Andrew had informed Peter that he had again found the Messiah, who was on his way up to Galilee, and that he would take Peter to him. All went now to Arabella to see Nathanael Chasen, who was there on business, and to induce him to go with them to celebrate the feast at Genubris. The disciples spoke much to him of Jesus. Andrew had purposely taken them there for the feast because he, as well as they, counted upon Nathanael. They were eager to hear his opinion, but Nathanael appeared rather indifferent to the whole affair. Blessed Anne saw, near a little city about 6 hours from Tiberias, Jesus met Andrew, Peter, and John. Leaving the other friends in Genubris, these 3 had come on to meet Jesus. Peter and John were in this part of the country upon some business connected with their fishery. They intended to proceed direct to Genebris, but Andrew persuaded them to go first to meet the Lord. Andrew presented his brother to Jesus, who among other words said to him, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas." This was said at the first salutation. Then Peter and John went out to Genebris, while Andrew accompanied Jesus into the environs of Tarichaea. When Jesus, with Andrew, reached the neighborhood of Tarichaea, he put up near the lake at a house belonging to Peter's fishery. Jesus taught here under a tree, his subject being vocation and correspondence. Andrew saw them convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, and his own heart was so full that he lost no opportunity to recount to them again and again all that he had seen at Jesus' baptism, also the miracles he had wrought. "I heard Jesus calling heaven to witness that they should behold still greater things. And he spoke of his mission from his heavenly Father." Jesus alluded also to their vocation, telling them to hold themselves in readiness. They would, he continued, have to forsake all when he called them. He would provide for them. They should suffer no want. They might still continue their customary occupations because, as the Passover was now approaching, he would have to discharge other affairs. But when he should call them, they should follow immediately. The disciples questioned him unrestrainedly as to how they should manage with regard to their families. Peter, for instance, said that just at present he could not leave his old stepfather, who was also Philip's uncle. But Jesus relieved his anxiety by his answer that he would not begin before the Paschal feast, that only in as far as the heart was concerned should they detach themselves from their occupation, that exteriorly they should continue them until he called them. In the meantime, however, they should take the necessary steps toward freeing themselves from their different avocations. Very early the next morning, Jesus, with his relatives and disciples, started for Cana to attend the wedding feast. Jesus had with him three disciples, one the son of the widowed aunt of the bridegroom of Cana, the second the son of the other widow, and the third, Peter's half-brother, Jonathan. Blessed Anne shared, "Toward noon I saw Jesus and his disciples on a little hill about 1/2 hour from the lake, between Bethsaida and the spot where the Jordan flows into it. They commanded a view of it, upon which they saw Peter, John, and James in their boats. Peter owned a large ship, and on it were his servants. But he was at the time in a small one, which he was steering himself. John and James in the company with their father owned a large ship and several small ones. I saw Andrew's little boat near those of Zebedee, but he himself was at the Jordan." When the disciples remarked their friends on the lake, they wanted to go down to call them, but Jesus would not allow it. "I heard the disciples asking, 'How can those men down there still go around fishing after seeing what thou hast done and hearing thy teaching?' But Jesus answered, 'I have not yet called them. They, and especially Peter,' Jesus said, 'carry on a large business upon which many depend for subsistence. I have told them to continue it, and in the meantime, hold themselves in readiness for my call.'" Blessed Anne shared, "Jesus was about to celebrate the Sabbath in Ulama. Several of the disciples had rejoined Jesus, among them Peter's half-brother Jonathan and the sons of the widows. They numbered in all 20. Peter, Andrew, John, James the Less, Nathanael Chased, and Nathanael the bridegroom had also come. Jesus had directed them to do so that they may hear his instructions and assist him in his ministrations to the sick, rendered difficult by the turbulence of the multitude. Blessed Anne shared, Jesus was about to leave Galilee on account of the great excitement there prevailing. He traveled with the disciples the livelong night and arrived at his mother's in the morning. Peter's wife and sister were there, also the bride of Cana and other women. Blessed Anne shared, Jesus went around Capernaum to his mother's dwelling, where about five women together with Peter, Andrew, James, and John were assembled. They went out to meet Jesus, and there were great rejoicings at his coming and his miracles. He took a meal here and then went straight back to Capernaum for the Sabbath. The women remained at home. Jesus went with the disciples to his mother's. It was night. On the way, Peter spoke of his household affairs. He had neglected many things connected with his fishery from which he had been so long absent. He must provide for his wife, his children, and his mother-in-law. John replied that he and James had to take care of their parents, and that was more important than the care of a mother-in-law. And so they bandied words freely and jocosely. Jesus observed that the time would soon come when they would give up their present fishing in order to catch fish of another kind. Early the next day, Jesus left his mother's near Capernaum. Before reaching the gate of the city, the traveler came to a house belonging to Peter, who had allotted it to Jesus and the disciples, and placed in it a pious old man as steward. It was about an hour and a half from the lake. The stream of Capernaum flowed along by Peter's house. He could, in his little boat, in the middle of which there was a seat, sail down to the lake with his fishing tackle. Blessed Anne shared, Jesus touched upon the solicitude they had expressed on the preceding day for the loss experienced by the neglect of their fisheries, and he went on, The Father will not abandon the servants of his Son. They shall receive all back with a rich reward when he gathers them around him in his kingdom. In the midst of these and similar instructions, they reached the lake. Up on the bank were little mud cabins for the fishermen's use. Jesus went down to it with his disciples. Jesus did not go to Bethsaida. He went to Peter's house, which stood on the eastern side of that high ground, upon whose opposite side was Mary's dwelling. Jesus entered with Peter. Mary and the other holy women were already there. As Peter entered the house with Jesus, he said, Master, we have had a fast day, but thou hast fed us. Peter's house was very neatly built with forecourt and garden. It was very long, and on the roof one could promenade and enjoy a beautiful view toward the lake. I saw neither Peter's stepdaughter nor his wife's sons. They may have been at school. His wife was with the holy women. Peter had no children by her. His mother-in-law was a tall, thin woman, so weak and sickly that in going around the house, she had to lean against the walls for support. From Mary's, Jesus went with the disciples along the north side of the valley toward Bethsaida, distant not quite an hour. The holy women also left Peter's house and went to that of Andrew at the northern extremity of Bethsaida. It was in good condition, though not as large as Peter's. Bethsaida was a little fishing place. From Peter's fishery, one could see it lying off toward the north. Blessed Anne shared, Jesus went from Capernaum to Nazareth. The Galilean disciples accompanied him for about 5 hours. He instructed them on the way concerning their future vocation. He counseled Peter to leave the borders of the lake, take up his abode in his house near Capernaum, and give up his business. Blessed Anne shared, Peter and Andrew, with the help of their servants, had built especially for Jesus a little boat. They were not only mariners and fishermen, but shipbuilders also. Peter owned 3 vessels, one of them very large, as long as a house. Jesus' little boat held about 10 men. Jesus went down to the shore of the lake and down to the spot where Peter's men were waiting for him with the boat. It was late. Jesus landed above Bethsaida, not far from the house of the lepers, where Peter, Andrew, John, James the Greater, James the Less, and Philip were waiting his coming. He did not go with them through Bethsaida, but took the shorter route over the height to Peter's dwelling in the valley between that city and Capernaum, where Mary and the other women were assembled. Peter's mother-in-law was in bed, sick. Several troops of the travelers that Jesus had lately met on the other side of the lake were here awaiting him. Jesus had said to Peter the evening before that he should leave his fishery on the following day and help him to fish after men. Soon he would call upon him to quit entirely. Peter obeyed, though not without some inward embarrassment. He was always of the opinion that life with the Master was too high for him. He could not understand it. He believed in Jesus. He saw his miracles. He shared freely his substance with the other disciples. He did willingly all that was enjoined upon him. But yet, he felt unfit for such a vocation. He thought of himself too simple, too unworthy. And to this was added a secret anxiety for the welfare of his business. Sometimes, also, it was very vexatious to him to overhear, he's only a poor fisherman, and yet look at him going around with the prophet. And his house is a perfect rendezvous for fanatics and seditious persons. See how he neglects his business? All this made it a struggle for Peter, since, though full of faith and love, he was not at that time so enthusiastic, so zealous as Andrew and the other disciples. He was timid and humble, attached to his ordinary occupations, and in his simplicity would have preferred being left in the peaceful discharge of them. Jesus went from Peter's dwelling over the mountain ridge to the north side of Bethsaida. The whole road was full of sick pagans and Jews. Separate, however, the leprous far removed from all others. There were blind, lame, dumb, deaf, paralytic, and an exceedingly large number of dropsical Jews. The ceremony of curing was performed with the greatest of order and solemnity. Jesus instructed and admonished the sick, who were carried or led, and ranged around him in groups. I saw him going again to Peter's and curing many. He cured about 100 that day, pardoned their sins, and pointed out to them what they should do in the future. Blessed Anne shared, Jesus now went without delay with the disciples out of the city gate and along the mountain to Peter's in Bethsaida. They had urged him to do so, for they thought that Peter's mother-in-law was dying. Her sickness had very much increased, and now she had a raging fever. Jesus went straight into her room. He was followed by some of the family. I think Peter's daughter was among them. Jesus stepped to that side of the bed and leaned against the bed so that his head approached hers. He spoke to her some words and laid his hand upon her head and breast. She became perfectly still. Then, standing before her, he took her hand and raised her into a sitting posture, saying, "Give her something to drink." Peter's daughter gave her a drink out of a vessel in the form of a little boat. Jesus blessed the drink and commanded the invalid to rise. She obeyed and arose from her low couch. Disengaging herself from bandages, she stepped to the floor and rendered thanks to the Lord, the entire household uniting with her. At the meal that followed, she helped with the other women and perfectly recovered, served at table. After that, Jesus, with Peter, Andrew, James, John, and several of the other disciples, went to Peter's fishery on the lake. In the instruction he gave them, he spoke principally of the fact that they would soon give up their present occupations and follow him. Peter became quite timid and anxious. He fell on his knees before Jesus, begging him to reflect upon his ignorance and weakness and not to insist on his undertaking anything so important that he was entirely unworthy and quite unable to instruct others. Jesus replied that his disciples would have no worldly solicitude, that he who gave health to the sick would provide for their sustenance and furnish them with the ability for what they had to do. All were perfectly satisfied, excepting Peter, who in his humility and simplicity could not comprehend how he was for the future to be, not a fisherman, but a teacher of men. This, however, is not the call of the apostles related in the gospel. That had not yet taken place. Peter had nonetheless already given over a great part of his business to Zebedee. After this walk by the lake, Jesus again went to Capernaum and found an unusual number of sick all around Peter's house outside the city. He cured many and taught again in the synagogue. The next morning, Jesus traveled to the residence of the pagan centurion Cornelius. On the way, a messenger came with these words, "The centurion bids me to say to thee, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Speak but one word, and my servant shall be healed." Blessed Anne shared, Jesus sent word to Peter and the other disciples to meet him next morning at the opposite side of the valley beyond Peter's fishery. The centurion Cornelius and his servant asked Jesus what they should do. He answered that they and all their family should receive baptism. Later on, Jesus took Peter, James the Greater, and John to the house of Jairus, the chief of the synagogue, whose daughter died before Jesus arrived. She lay on the couch enveloped in a long garment. Jesus raised her lightly in his arms, held her on his breast, and breathed upon her. Then I saw something wonderful. Near the right side of the corpse was a luminous figure in a sphere of light. When Jesus breathed upon the little girl, that figure entered her mouth as a tiny human form of light. Then he laid the body down upon the couch, grasped one of the wrists, and said, "Damsel, arise." The girl sat up in her bed. On the way back, Jesus spoke with his disciples on the subject of this miracle. He said that these people, namely the father and mother, had had neither real faith nor an upright intention. If the daughter was raised from the dead, it was for her own sake and for the glory of God's kingdom. The death from which she had just been roused, that is, the death of the body, was a guiltless one. But from the death of the soul, she must now preserve herself. Jesus then went to the great square of the city, cured many sick there awaiting him, and taught in the synagogue until the close of the Sabbath. Next morning, when Jesus went to the lake, which was about a quarter of an hour distant from Matthew's dwelling, Peter and Andrew were upon the point of launching out on the deep to let down their nets. Jesus called to them, "Come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men." They instantly abandoned their work, hove to their boat, and came on shore. Then Jesus sent Peter, Andrew, James, and John into the mountains where the heathens were encamped, with the order to baptize all that desired it. He himself had prepared them for it during the two preceding days. Blessed Anne shared, Peter was, besides his fishery, engaged also in agriculture and cattle raising. Consequently, it was harder for him than the others to break away from his business affairs. To this was added the feeling of his own unworthiness and his fancied incapacity for teaching, which made separation from his surroundings still more difficult. His house outside Capernaum was large and long, surrounded by a courtyard, side buildings, halls, and sheds. The waters of the brook of Capernaum flowing in front of it were dammed nearby into a beautiful pond in which fish were kept. All around were grass plots upon which bleaching was done and nets were spread. Andrew had followed the Lord longer and he was already more detached from worldly affairs than his brother. James and John, up to this point, were accustomed to return at intervals to their parents. It is understood that the Gospels do not contain the details of Jesus' intercourse with the disciples, but only a short statement of it. This call of the fishermen from their boats to make them fishers of men is there set down as happening at the beginning of his public life, and as the only call that Saints Peter, Andrew, John, and James received. Many of the miracles, parables, and instructions of Jesus are afterward recorded as instances of his power and wisdom without any reference whatever to their order of time. Peter, Andrew, James, and John went to the pagan encampment, and there Andrew baptized. The other disciples went around outside the circle, laying their hands on the newly baptized. These latter then withdrew, and their places were immediately filled by others. The ceremony was discontinued at intervals, and then the disciples recounted the parables they had learned from their master. They spoke of Jesus, his doctrine, and his miracles, and explained to the pagans points of which they were still ignorant regarding the law and the promises of God. Peter was particularly animated in his delivery and accompanied his words with many gestures. John and James likewise spoke very beautifully. Blessed Anne shared, the 12 apostles and Saturn went aboard Peter's boat. It looked as if Jesus wanted to escape from the crowd that pressed upon them, for he was worn out with fatigue. Jesus lay down and fell asleep. The wind blew in a hurricane, and the waves dashed over the boat, the sails of which had been furled. I saw from time to time a brilliant light glancing over the troubled waters. It must have been lightning. The danger was imminent, and the disciples were in great anxiety when they awoke Jesus with the words, "Master, hast thou no care for us? We're sinking." Jesus arose, looked out upon the water, and said quietly and earnestly, as if speaking to the storm, "Peace, be still." And instantly, all became calm. The disciples were struck with fear. They whispered to one another, "Who is this man that can control the waves?" Jesus reproved them for their little faith and their fear. He ordered them to row back to Chorazin, for so the place of Matthew's custom house was called. Blessed Anne shared, numerous sick were brought to Capernaum from the towns and villages lying around. All had been thrown into excitement by the raising of the youth of Nain and the other astonishing miracles. Many sick from Nazareth, even those that were considered incurable, and the others nigh unto death, had been brought hither to Jesus in all confidence by their friends. Peter's house outside the city, its courtyard, outbuildings, and sheds were crowded with them. Tents and arbors of all kinds were hastily put up and provisions provided. Peter's wife presided over the domestic affairs of his house outside the city, while those of the other near the lake were directed by his mother-in-law and stepdaughter. Jesus went away to pray. Some of the disciples, they that had formerly been engaged in fishing, asked and obtained their master's permission to go aboard their boats and pass the night at their old occupation, since there was a great need of fish to supply this stupendous multitude of strangers then present in Capernaum. Later in the day, Jesus gave at Peter's fishery a discourse, which was attended by an immense crowd. The boats of Peter and Zebedee were lying not far from the shore. The disciples who had been fishing the night before were on the shore, a little distant from the crowd, busy cleaning their nets. Evening was now closing. Jesus told Peter to row his boat out on the lake and to cast his nets to the fish. Peter, slightly vexed, replied, "We have labored all night and have taken nothing. But at thy word, I will let down the net." And he with the others entered their boats with their nets and rowed out to them on the lake. And Jesus bade adieu to the crowd, and in his own little boat, wherein were Saturn, Veronica's son, who had arrived the day before, and some of the other disciples, he followed after Peter's. He continued to instruct them, explaining similitudes, and went out on the deep water, told them where to let down their nets. Then he left them and rowed over in his little boat to the landing place near Matthew's. By this time it was night, and on the edge of the boats near the nets, torches were blazing. The fishers cast out the net and rowed towards Chorazin, but soon they were unable to raise it. When at last, continuing to row eastward, they dragged it out of the deep into the shallow water, it was so heavy that it gave way here and there, and they inserted scoops formed like little boats into the nets and seized the fish with their hands and put them in smaller nets and into the casks that floated at the sides of their boats. Then they called to their companions on Zebedee's boat, who came and emptied a part of the net. And they were actually terrified at the sight of the drought of fishes. Never before had such a thing happened to them. Peter was confounded. He felt how vain were all the cares they had hitherto bestowed upon their fishing. how fruitlessly they had labored, notwithstanding their trouble. And here, at a word from him, they had caught at one draught more than they had ever done in months together. When the net was relieved of part of its weight, they rowed to the shore, dragging it out of the water, and gazed awestruck at the multitude of fish it still contained. Jesus was standing on the shore. Peter was quite overcome by sadness at the sight of his own unworthiness and vain solicitude for the things of this life. Peter, humbled and confused, fell at the feet of Jesus and said, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But Jesus said, "Fear not, Peter. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men." It was now between 3 and 4 in the morning, and it began to grow light. Jesus delivered to his disciples a comprehensive instruction. In it, he gave them an idea of the whole plan of the discourses upon which he intended to dwell for a long time. He told them that they, the disciples, were the salt of the earth, destined to vivify and preserve others. Consequently, that they themselves must not lose their savor. Jesus explained all this to them at full length, making use of numerous examples and parables. And after that, he rowed across the lake. You've been listening to Truth of the Spirits, the call of Peter from the writings of the visionary Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. I'm your host, Patty Bruner. This episode is available at patriarchministries.com/226. We invite you to subscribe and watch the playlist, including more about Peter and more from Blessed Anne Catherine on our YouTube channel or our website, Patriarch Ministries. Then come back for more. With the Holy Spirit, there's always more. Amen.
This is the Padua Podcast Network. PaduaPodcastNetwork.com.